This morning, as we get into this passage, the title, forget about that. I mean, I guess you know, it kind of fits, but at least we're in the right scripture. So for most of us, that's you're saying, well, you got a little better. But this morning, it's not a Christmas season message per se. I get a text this morning that I hope all the pastors in the association, and it was he sends one out each week that he's praying for us as we go to present the gospel. And he talked about how we're in those Christmas messages, and I'm thinking, I'm not. and so maybe I'm behind, but or whatever. We're going to be in Acts chapter 3, which is a familiar passage. But as I read over this passage and studied it this week and prayed about it, it reminded me or it made me stop and think about, you know, when you go shopping, whether it's Walmart or Woods or wherever it happens to be, and you go about 5 o'clock or maybe 11 o'clock right before you eat, you know what happens? I can tell you what happens when I go. I get a lot more stuff that I want than what I went in that I was needing. And I got to thinking about that, and I think, you know, sometimes my spiritual life is the same way. I go for what I should need, but really I'm going for what I want. And that's not always the best thing. Well, this man that we're going to read about this morning, I believe he kind of did the same thing to start out with. So if you'd read along with me, we're going to start in verse 1, 10 short verses. And so if you'd read along, it says, "Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, 'Look at us.' So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, 'Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.' And he took him by the right hand, and he lifted him up, and immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that this was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him." Let's pray. Father God, we place your word before you, and we pray, Lord, that we would not get in your way, but, Lord, that you would speak to us today. Lord, speak to us as a congregation. Lord, speak to us as individuals. But, Lord, please speak to us. Lord, help us to hear. Help us to understand. Help us to desire your word this morning. Lord, may your spirit move in this place in such a way that we experience you. Lord God, we lift this time to you. In your name we pray. Amen. As we look at this passage, we see this man and we know a little bit about him. We know that he was lame his whole life. And he obviously had some friends who were willing to every day take him to the temple to where he could beg for alms, for whatever that he might get from the people that were coming in. So whether the people that brought him were family or friends, they cared about him enough to take him. And we know that as he went probably expecting some things. As I look at this, you know, as they carry him, he come every day to lay at the temple gate to expect someone to give him something. And what he does is he lays there, and when somebody's coming in, he asks them for alms, for whatever. And so as he does that, that's his life. His life is coming to a place expecting something. wanting something, and probably for the most part receiving a little bit because he would keep coming back. But I want us this morning to look at this, and as we do, I want us to see that this man comes to that place the way we come to this place. It's going to get really pointed really fast. I'm just warning you. It's been pointing at me all week long. But he comes to that place with a desire for something. You know, there are so many times we come to this church and we want to praise God together. We want to sing. We want to fellowship with other Christians. We want God to help us with this problem or that problem. And we come with a lot of wants. That's not a bad thing. But generally, we come for what we want. Generally, we come for what we want. And so, this man comes with that desire that day. Not only does he come that day, but it says that he comes every day. They would lay him at that gate. He didn't have a whole lot of choice, but after a while, if he wasn't receiving something, he's probably going to say, let's try someplace else. Or, I'm not going back today. I'm fed up with it. But for whatever reason, he keeps coming back day after day, having people bring him back to this place. And so he hasn't given up. But is he just getting by? So many times we come to church and we get just enough to get us to next week. And then we come back next week and we get just enough to get us to the next week. And there's times when we need that. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but I'm saying we're settling for that. Because this man, he came day after day and he would get just enough, or there would be just enough hope that he would come back the next day. But you know what? When he got there and he received what he wanted, whether it was sympathy, whether it was money, whether it was some other kind of help, when he received what he wanted, you know what? He still had to come back the next day. When you and I just get what we want, we will come back the next day. But our problem is we settle for what we want. And if we look at this man, and he had a serious need. He came for what he wanted. He came steadily. He came expecting. That's where we should be. But we shouldn't be like him in that sense, that we come expecting what we want. And as long as I get what I want, I will come back the next day. And so as we look at this, here's this man and he's expecting what he wants. And then all of a sudden, God intervenes. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm praying that God intervenes today. I hope you're miserable by the time you leave this. How many times have you heard a pastor say that? But you'll understand when I'm done. Because if God doesn't intervene, we'll be back next week. Maybe we'll get through. By Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, man, things are getting hard. I can't wait till Sunday gets here. My Sunday school teacher shares with me or lifting up praises helps or whatever. I don't want us to settle. And God intervened with this man. He came expecting what he wanted. God said, that's not enough. I've got more. So he came expecting what he wanted, and this is what he got. He got a word from God. Peter and John are there, and they walk in, and the man is expecting the normal same thing that he always gets. He's expecting the sympathy or the help from Peter and John because they talked to him and they looked at him and they even called him to look at us. And so he's expecting to receive what he wants. But he didn't get what he wanted. He got what he needed. Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise and walk." He comes expecting material things, and he is given the power of God through the word of Peter. Now, God uses Peter in this place, but trust me, it is God that has given these things. Because if it was just Peter, he wouldn't have anything. But Peter says, "What I have," and we know that's Christ, "I give that to you." He says, "I'm giving you a word. I want you to understand today, I don't want you to get what you came here for. I want you to get what God has for you. Because I have a preconceived idea, even in my mind, if I come here and I'm thinking this is what I want to get out of church." And that's not a bad thing. But if we stop right there, we miss out. Because this man came, and if he got that, he missed out. But Peter says, "I've got more for you. I'm going to give you what I have. This has nothing to do with me. This has to do with you trying to get that word that God wants you to have." The word here was "in the name of Jesus Christ, rise and walk." But it was really the name of Jesus Christ, the word that makes the difference. And so I want you to understand, I want you to stop and think. When you came here today, what did you come here for? Did you come here for what you want? Because if you did, that's probably all you're going to leave with. But if you came here to say, "God, give me what I need," then your cup will overflow. And it'll have nothing to do with me. It'll have to do with you and God. Here he says, a word. This man needed a word, and Peter gives it to him. I wonder if we're willing to take the word that God has for us. So many times in my life, I would go to church, and I would expect the pastor to hand feed me. I would expect the pastor to have such a good message that it would just give me those spiritual goosebumps and it would just change me. But I'm relying on a man, and that ain't going to happen today. Don't rely on the man. It's not going to happen. You're going to have to get the word, and you get that word from the word, and that's Jesus. You're going to have to search His Word. I can read it to you. I can quote it. We can sing it. But the bottom line is you need to receive it. And in order for that to happen, it has to be personal. You need to receive the Word of God. And in order for that to happen, you've got to take part. You've got to search His Word. You've got to pray for the Spirit to speak to you. You've got to spend time with Him. So many times in my life, I'd spend 30 minutes, I'd spend an hour, sometimes an hour and a half in church. And God, why are you not speaking to me? I spent a whole hour and a half here. He says, I spent more time than that on the cross. We have to be in His Word. This man needed a word. You and I need a word. But unfortunately, our desire is measured by our actions. When we're not willing to spend that time, we're not willing to take that focus in prayer, that desire to spend time with Him and learn from Him and read from Him, it shows in our actions that we don't have much of a desire. So the man came and he needed a word, and Peter gave it to him. But you know, he didn't just need a word. He needed something else. He needed a touch. Here this man lay at the temple gate. Peter spoke to him and said, "Rise in the name of Jesus and walk." The man's still on the ground. Sometimes we take in the word, and we just let it sit there. We need a touch from God. Peter reached down and took him by the hand and showed that he cared. He was close enough to Peter that Peter could reach down and touch his hand. You want to hear from God, you spend time in His Word. You want Him to touch you, you've got to get close to Him. There's no way Ed Ford can touch me right now. He's sitting back there. I got room right here, but he's back there. If he was here, I could touch him. But with him back there, I can't touch him. And we laugh about that, but the bottom line is, when we're not walking close to God and we want Him to touch us, how does that work? It doesn't work physically. It's not going to work spiritually. If I don't desire to walk close to Him, He is a personal God. But yet I want Him to chase me down to touch me. If we want God to touch us, then we've got to spend time at His side. So we get in His Word. We walk in a spirit of understanding that we're trying to walk in His footsteps. To do what Jesus would do. To live like Jesus would do. To be in a mindset of praying. That's when He will touch you. He came wanting the sympathy and the help and the money. God intervened and gave Him His Word. God intervened and touched Him through Peter. And you know, sometimes that's where we are. We will get into His Word sometimes. And we will spend time and we will feel God touch us. But you know what? I read that it says, He took him by the hand and He had to lift him up. And you and I need lifted up. The way this came to me this week is we need a nudge. And we will hear His Word, but we may not be in His Word. We may feel His touch because He's affected somebody in our life. But we are idle as Christians, and we need a nudge. This man could have laid there and had Peter say, "Rise and walk in the name of Jesus." Peter could have reached down and touched him by the hand, and the man could have felt, "Man, this guy cares about me." But when that man lifted him up to his feet, something had to change. You need God. I need God to give me a nudge so I'm not standing where I've always been. Well, you know, Pastor, I'm doing a good job. I'm living the life. Okay, fine. But don't stop there. We need to have that nudge from God. That push, that encouragement. That boldness that comes only from Him. Because we're not where we're supposed to be. None of us are. We need to be pushed. We need to be brought to the point of doing more. Well, Pastor, you don't know what I'm doing. Yeah, I know. I don't. I don't know what you're doing. You may be working 23 hours a day for God, doing everything that He tells you to do. And praise God if you are. But there's 24 hours in the day. Well, Pastor, we can't do that. Maybe you can't, but do you desire to? That's my problem. Sometimes I'm satisfied with where I'm at. I have no desire to be pushed to do more for God. That's where we need to be. We need to understand we need that word. We need that touch. We need that nudge. Because otherwise, we're going to end up like this man. And we're going to get used to going to church and Sunday school and Bible study to get out of it what we want. And it's not about us. It's about going to get what He has for us to bring about His will in our lives.
this man received a word. I want to give you a word today. Maybe you're needing guidance. Maybe you're needing assurance. Maybe you're needing wisdom. But it's all in here. And I can quote you those verses about those things. But every time somebody always quoted those to me, I picked up a little bit, but I didn't retain it because I didn't dig for it. Do you want His Word? The evidence of your desire is in your actions. Are you searching His Word? How long has it been since He's touched you? Maybe it's because of where you're at. Maybe it's because of where I'm at. Man, my life, I need peace, I need comfort, I need forgiveness, I need all those things. But if I'm not going to Him, I'm probably not going to get them. This man, he came and he could have left with only what he wanted. But that's not what God wanted him to leave with. And God doesn't want you to leave with what you want. Well, I've got enough. Shut it down, Pastor. It's getting close. No. You need what He has for you. If you're lost, if you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, you need these things worse than anybody. You need the Word, which is Jesus. You need to understand what the Bible says that He's done for you. You need a touch of forgiveness, but you're not going to find that till you find yourself at the foot of the cross. You need a nudge. Man, I can remember years ago when I sat in the back row of a pew, my knuckles would get white because I grabbed that pew so tight. Because God was nudging me to go forward. And I was fighting it. Don't fight it. Christians, you think you're off the hook? No, we're in trouble. We're in trouble because we're not living up to what God wants. We're not spending time in His Word. We're not being touched. We're not being moved. We're not being nudged into what He has for us. That's scary. Know that He goes before you. Know that He goes with you. Understand that He's the one that's sending you, so He will equip you. But just because you were in His Word once, don't expect Him just to nudge you all the time without being back in His Word. It's kind of hard to nudge somebody without touching them. Do you want Him to nudge you? God, if you just show me the way to go, if you just kind of direct me the way to go, God, I'll go. Get close enough and stay close enough that He can touch you. And the only way you're going to do that is spend more time in His Word. And like I said, maybe you're already doing that. Then maybe if that's the case, you need to be like Peter. Maybe you need to be the one that God is using to speak to someone else. This man is laying here and Peter comes and Peter was speaking the word to the man. Maybe you're the one that's called to speak to that person at your work, on your team, wherever you're at. Maybe you're the one that's supposed to reach out and touch them. We are supposed to be His hands and feet. Maybe God is giving you the wisdom because of your time in the Word to share with them. You never know when you may be the instrument God is going to use to nudge someone else. But you've got to be, in order to be Peter, you've got to be in the Word. You've got to be touching God. You've got to be letting God direct you so that you can be that vessel that He can use to do those things in that other person. I don't know where you're at. But I do know that going into this season, this Christmas season, there are a lot of people out there that need that touch. They need that nudge. But most importantly, they need the Word. And this season, we have the opportunity to share that every day, and it will be in the norm. It'll be okay. Take the opportunity to get in His Word. Share His Word. Be touched and touch. Let Him nudge you that He might use you to nudge someone else. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, we just come before You. We thank You for Your Word. Lord, for all You do. Forgive us where we fall short. But Lord, show us what opportunities we have before us. Lord, use us in all You want. May we glorify and honor You. May we praise You. God, we love You. We ask that You move. God, I love You. In Your name I pray. Amen.